Thanks, everyone. It's a beautiful morning to hear these musics and also to see what our kids are doing. They showed us very well the message today, actually. My name is Joseph. I'm one of the pastors here. When my wife and I were waiting for our first child, we prayed a lot about his name. Two names came to our minds, Simeon and Ariamer. We love the story of Simeon in the book of Luke chapter 2. The Holy Spirit was with Simeon and had revealed that he wouldn't die before seeing the Messiah. And in his old age, he waited a long time. He found the Messiah, baby Jesus. His story encouraged us. We also gave our son the second name, Ariamer. In Persian, Mer means love. The name also connects to the history of Iran. It is also the nickname of the former king of Iran. But Islamic Republic doesn't like this name. So they don't allow people to use this name. I emailed the son of the previous king to share the good news when our son was born. I had never contacted him before, and to my surprise, he actually replied. Have you ever wanted to meet someone important, someone you deeply respect, and just be close to them, to see them, hear them, and feel their presence? That is what God has done for us. In the book of John chapter 1, we learn that the eternal Word, Jesus, became human, so we would see him, know him, and experience his presence. John wrote his gospel. He wrote specifically so people would begin believing in Jesus and keep trusting him. This is why he uses the verb believe almost 100 times, but rarely uses the noun faith. I think John wants us to be active and not just passive. He wants us to respond to Jesus personally, not just have a religious idea in our minds. John wants us to behold Jesus. The word behold means more than just to look. It means to look carefully, to pay attention, and to understand what we see. When we behold Jesus, we begin to understand who God is, why his presence is important, and how this truth can guide our daily life, our decisions, and even our identity. That's why today's message is behold. So before we continue, let's pray together. Father, thank you for being here, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here among us. Please help us know you more, understand the gift of salvation, receive healing, Lord, and feel your presence every day. Lead us, Father, in our daily life. We really need you every day. Please help us with our decisions and guide us to share your love, your grace, Father, with others. As we are here today, Lord, I am here today. Help me to share your message with love. Help your people, Lord, to hear it. We ask your Holy Spirit to help us to put your word into practice, to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, can you go next slide, please? So, I want to read from verse 14. I chose two different translations, NIV and King James Version, for one particular reason. I want to read from NIV for now. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In King James Version, instead of saying, we have seen his glory, it says, we beheld his glory. Why is this so important? Many people want to know God, Some climb mountains. It's next slide. Some climb mountains, some follow rituals, some pray many times a day, like Muslims, I was one of them. Some fast, some read holy books, some go to church, some follow their parents' faith. People everywhere are searching to know God, to understand the purpose of their life. So if someone asked you, what is God like? How would you answer? Many people guess what God is like. Some think God is angry. Some think God is far away. Some think God doesn't care. Some think the word God creates division and chaos in this world. Some say God is good and welcomes all. No matter what, do whatever you want to do, God is good. But in John chapter 1, God does something different. He comes to us. He becomes one of us so we can truly know him. And this is the heart of Christianity. God is not only a voice far away, a rule or a ritual. He's a person. And we behold him in Jesus. In verse 14, the word means Jesus, the eternal Son of God. Became flesh means he became human. He was not a human. He took a real body, real skin, real feelings. Have you ever asked God, why am I suffering? Don't you see my pain? Have you ever felt God is far away? In some religions, God is holy but distant. Some believe God is a ruler who waits to judge. He doesn't feel their struggles. But John tells us something amazing. And let me share a little about my faith journey before I share with you this amazing story that John tells us, which is not just a story, it's the reality of who God is. For many years, I believed there was a God who sent prophets to guide us. But I didn't see any goodness from those who talked about God. Then I became angry with those who talked about God. When I came to Canada, things changed. I came to Canada as a refugee, but the government didn't believe my story. I became a refugee prisoner. And the pastor came and visited me and gave me a Persian Bible. When I started reading the Gospels, I read verses like, if you go to next slide, these verses I read, if someone slaps you, turn the other cheek. If someone takes your clothes, give more. If someone tells you to go 1 mile for them, go 2 miles. Give to everyone who asks. Beautiful words, I never heard. But I became even more angry. I had never seen people live like this. I thought anyone who talks about God is a hypocrite. I thought they were only looking for money and prestige. And even if they did something good, they did out of their richness. Or to get more attention. Then I read John chapter 1. I saw that Jesus says he is God. And I became angrier. I thought, now this person is even more extreme than the prophets that I knew about them. He says he is God. I throw my Bible to the ground. That particular day, I was alone in my cell, and that was very rare. We were always in cell with other person. Then I heard a quiet voice say, go, pick it up, and read. I say this humbly because I believe the Holy Spirit's mission is to reveal the Word of God. He can speak to your heart. He can bring healing to your life. He can use your, maybe your mother to talk to you about Christ. He can use others. He can use the preacher to soften your heart. I read John again, and this time God touched my heart. I realized Jesus is not a hypocrite. Jesus became human. He felt my stress, my pain, my anxiety, my questions, my temptations. He knows because he lived as a human. God softened my heart and I began to believe. The reason I wanted to share my story with you is that if you feel God is far away, believer or not believer, we testify that he is not far away. He's here in you. Now let me say this amazing story that John says. John says an amazing thing, that Jesus made his dwelling among us. The Jews knew this idea from the Old Testament. It was not foreign to them. In the book of Exodus chapter 29, verse 45 and 46, God says, I will dwell among the people of Israel. I am the Lord, their God. We are not Jew. We have our own culture and history. So when we read it, we might think differently. We might say, okay, I believe John's words. Jesus became human and lived among us. So what? But John is saying more than that. The same language is used in the book of Numbers, chapter 35, verse 34. You shall not defile the land in which you live, in the midst of which I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell in the midst of the people of Israel. John testifies that God came as a human and lived among people. He called them to behold his glory, his holiness, his grace, his love, and his truth, which is God's reality. And those who truly behold him follow God's reality. As someone not from a Christian background, I heard many non-believers say they cannot accept Christianity because some people do whatever they want and still call themselves Christian. You remember, God is good, do whatever you want to do. And even to this day, I go to the universities with my wife and we see students from different parts of this world, and still I hear the same thing. Yes, this can be an excuse for them not to accept Christ and his grace, but their points is good for us to think of. In verse 14, John simply says, Jesus, the creator of the universe, became flesh, lived among us so that we can have hope, peace, joy, and love, and follow his example, his holiness as a human. We shall not defile the land in which we live, because the Lord dwells in the midst of us. Then John continues in verse 15 and talks about John the Baptist and other human beings. John the Baptist testified concerning Jesus. He cried out saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. It looks like Apostle John is just repeating John the Baptist's words. But I think he wants to say more. I think John also uses John the Baptist as an example of what it looks like to behold Jesus. John the Baptist was a preacher and leader. You know, he had followers. He had plans and strategies. He used the wilderness to preach in his own way. But John was humble. He walked in unity with the Holy Spirit. He knew that his purpose was not to be followed. His purpose was to lift up Jesus and guide others to follow him. John lived differently. Look at our world or ourselves. I think we need to be humble sometimes and look at ourselves. Many people follow pride or sin. Many compete in a negative way. Some people, or leaders, sadly, do not want others to grow or do better. They look down on people and say things that are not true. They're not realistic. They judge. Didn't write this here, but it's in my heart to say it. Imagine I hire Pastor Dave to be the pastor here. And I'm going to give him a job description, and I'm going to tell him, go ahead. Forget about unity, forget about love, you know, I don't want to see you. Just come back and I want to see what you did. Last week I was helping one of our students to cook for their school program. And one of them said, are you going to preach about love? I said, not really, not necessarily. And I was driving back home and I just said to myself, well, all is about love. All is about unity. And John knew that. He accepted who he is. He was a human being. He kept his eyes on Jesus. He lived in God's truth. That's why he said, something important. Do not follow me. Follow Jesus. You know, John reminds us of something important. We must have godly character and be united with the Holy Spirit and one another. No one should boast. No one can save others. We are called to be united with God and with one another. Maybe that little story I just said about Pastor Dave, the story, it's not about him, it's just in general. And maybe even this candle, when it was not really turned on, two other people came and helped. Because no one can do what Jesus did. He is the one who can save people, to gather people together. Because of his love, actually, we are here today. John the author doesn't just help his audience learn that the eternal word, Jesus, became human so they could see him and know him, but he also tells us what we can receive from this truth. And that can probably help us to understand better that we are called to be united with God and with one another. In verse 16 and 17, John says, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John doesn't just say we have all received grace upon grace here. He shares a little history before receiving grace and what people needed to receive God's grace and love. John reminds his audience, God gave Moses the law and promised that those who followed it would receive his love. It says in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 6. It says, but showing a steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You know, many people thought the law was only about rules or getting something in this world, like joy, happiness, money and prestige. They didn't fully understand what the steadfast love of God meant. Even those who understood a little bit about God's love tried to follow his commandments, but relied on their own understanding. They thought by doing good works they can please God. Many were self-centered. Everything they did was about themselves and not God. These are not my words. These are God's words. Let me read from the slide next. Yeah. Those are some of the words that God said. The Pharisees reduced the law to rules and missed its heart. People followed God only for earthly benefits. Micah said Israel thought sacrifices and rituals alone were enough. First Samuel, people trusted in rituals instead of love and obedience. And Isaiah, God rebukes empty religion without love. Many people misunderstood why the law was given to them. History shows people rely on their own understanding. For example, the first man and woman sinned because they trusted their own understanding instead of God. Their hearts were hardened. John reminds people the law was given to them to show them God's holiness, to guide them, and to help them live in freedom. But just like Adam and Eve, people couldn't keep God's word because they were self-centered. The law showed them what is right, but couldn't change their hearts. This month, many churches around the globe are following Advent and praying for hope, peace, joy, and love that the law couldn't give. John says, Jesus gives grace upon grace. He gives the truth to everyone who beholds him and follows him. What are grace and truth? He talks about. Grace is love we do not deserve. And truth is honesty, reality, and purity. John shows us that grace comes first, and truth is not mainly a set of rules. I probably use this a lot in my sermons. I think God is speaking to me and probably to you, because the truth is a person whose name is Jesus. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus only teaches about truth and grace. John says Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. If people receive grace and truth, which means if people receive Jesus, they lack nothing. They will walk in hope, peace, joy, and love, because grace and truth came to them through Jesus Christ, not through rules. And here is the good news. The good news is God comes with grace first and says what? Follow my commandments. Yeah? No. He says, I love you. The world that I wish I could use every day in my own life. Imagine just yesterday, I don't want to go for last year, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, last week, how many times you use this word to say to your spouse, I love you. To say to your children, to your brothers and sisters, parents, grandparents, your teacher at school, your coworker, your church member. How many times you criticized, you judged, you gossiped? John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Everything started with love. John from the beginning tries to help us to understand the truth. The truth is not only information. Believe me or not, you can get information. Just go to school and study, you get more information. You live, you know, with your parents, you learn more. My little kids are learning every day. I came to Canada, I couldn't speak the language. I have to start to learn the alphabet. It's very difficult to say that, but it was true. I have to go to school and learn the alphabet, A, B, C, D, and learn to speak the language. Yes, I worked hard, but I just got information. I went to university. I actually took Greek and Hebrew class that I've never studied. I got A plus from my Hebrew class. And if you ask me now, I don't remember much. Truth is God's word, not information. And what we read, God's word became flesh in order to forgive those who believe in him and give them eternal life. The other part of John 3:16. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So as we behold Jesus and receive him, John didn't finish. He gives us a lifetime warranty. It's amazing, yeah? We can trust this because it's not coming from the human mouth. It's not coming out from that. It's coming from God's word. So let me read verse 18 for us. This is the last verse. John finishes this section by saying, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Let me now help us to understand why this is a lifetime warranty. This brings us back to our first question. What is God like? People in the world cannot answer this because God is invisible. They didn't see him, how they should respond. Human beings cannot see God on their own. Only God can reveal God. John tells us that Jesus is God and Jesus is the one who makes God known to us. Now, before the fall, if you read the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve lived in God's presence and had a close relationship with him. That's in our next slide. But when they disobeyed, everything was good before they disobeyed. They were with God and they saw God. But when they disobeyed, they died spiritually. Just as God said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, "When you eat of it, you will surely die." And if you don't know the story, I encourage you to go and read the book of Genesis. Their bodies continued to live, according to the scripture, but their spirits were separated from God. Because of sin, no one can stand in God's holy glory. So it's not just God is invisible. They cannot see it. People cannot see God because of sin. And this is why God says in the book of Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, "No one may see me and live." Now, Jesus changed everything, and John is telling us. Where Adam and Eve died spiritually, Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us to make us alive again. Because from the beginning, human beings were created to be alive in God's presence. And that's why this is a lifetime warranty. Jesus promises that those who behold and believe in him will not die spiritually. And he says in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, "Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die physically." and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And in John 5:24, he says, we have already crossed from death to life because we believed. Jesus forgave our sins. And now we can live forever. And that's a lifetime warranty. He promised in the book of John 3:16, he promises that believers will not perish, but have eternal life. Now we can live in his presence. We have a lifetime warranty. So for application, this Advent, we can live out what we see in Jesus. Behold Jesus daily. Look at Jesus in the Bible. Notice his heart, love, and truth. Read this book. I beg you to read it. Because this half an hour you come and listen to me, you can even criticize my words. Because it's not complete. I'm not the Holy Spirit to be with you every minute. He is the one who is with you. He is the one who can answer your questions. He is the one who can bring healing into your life. So let his grace change you. So when you feel anger or selfishness, for example, or whatever you're dealing with, remember his love. Remember his love and act like him. Because we don't want to hear this, that because of you, because of me, people cannot believe in Christ. Even though we know that can be an excuse for them. But we are responsible of our own act. And share his life with others. Do one small act of love or kindness this week. As the worship team comes up, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We acknowledge that your law was given to us, but we sinned against you and relied on our own understanding, Lord. Help your people to behold you, to look carefully, to see your glory, and let your grace and truth change them, change me, change all of us, Lord. In this Christmas season, as we are celebrating, thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you for offering us grace and truth. We ask you, Father, to transform our hearts and help us to share your hope, peace, joy, and love with the world. Help this world. Many of them probably, they're like me, Lord. They cannot believe because they didn't see, they didn't feel. Use your church. Not just here. Use all your churches around the globe, to share your love with the world. With the world which is very dark, and tonight is one of those nights, it's the longest night. And many in the world, they hope that light, overcome darkness. Help us to be that light in this dark world. I have lots of things to pray, Father. I pray for each people here, sitting here. They will be touched by your spirit. Life is too short. In Jesus' name, we want to celebrate and worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Thank you.